Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 452. This is the Bork edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. I actually do think we've had several episodes titled Borked, and they all seem to come either around the same time of the year, the same feeling in the gut when we're doing them. So we have a an interesting show, to say the least, coming up for you. I do apologize for missing the last scheduled release, which 452 was supposed to be released this past Sunday, but just things are out of control around here. To give you the long and the short of it, I work at a university. The first day of school was this past Monday, and it was just, everything was so tangled up and things have been so busy that I just took the night off to try and get everything under control. And that didn't even work. So we have a lot of really cool stuff to talk about today. I did want to remind you that PodCamp Philly is in just a little bit over a month. It's actually going to be the 2nd and 3rd of October in Philadelphia, Temple University, one wonderful institution, I might add. So you can head on over to podcampphilly.com to check that out. You are, of course, listening to the Caffeination Podcast, the Caffeine Podcast, the one that needs caffeine, the Caffeination Podcast, the high-octane world of caffeine culture and technology news. Everything, including all of our lovely little articles and episodes and all that other stuff, is lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com, in case you couldn't figure that one out. We have a ton of great and cool stuff to talk to you about today. We're going to be talking about, as I wrote actually in the show notes, it's not often that I will just copy the show notes for the intro to the actual show itself, but I sifted through the tattered remains of my week to find little bits of awesome content that were floating about. Hope you enjoy things like steampunk, science fiction movies, coffee, t-shirts, and geekery as much as I do. And that's because you are listening to one of the primary sources of all of those things. We love talking about all that kind of fun stuff, so I just wanted to make sure that we were on the same page, we can get all the really cool and fun stuff and content out there. The Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, then it's here. Everybody is listed over at techpodcasts.com. Sorry, having like a series of rapid-fire, I don't even know what they are, just brain misfires around here, and just everything needs to kind of settle down. The girl has been up more than more than I care to think that she should have been up, but beyond that, there's a whole bunch of other stuff that we're trying to work through, so please excuse the mess-ups and everything. The other thing I would like to make mention of is the fact that the Caffeination is proudly sponsored by GoToMeeting. Now, let me set the scene for you. You have important business contacts that are anywhere from the West Coast to the East Coast, they're north, south, anywhere, and that's not your problem. That's a good thing in business. Having people all over the country, having people all over the world even, is fantastic. But what you would really like to do is meet with everybody, meet with all of them, all in one place, and you'd like to do it a lot more often than you have the time and the money to do right now. That's why I'm going to suggest that you start using GoToMeeting to hold your meetings online. GoToMeeting is brought to you by Citrix. It is the easiest online meeting service out there. You simply set your meeting up in advance, or you can start one on the fly. Everyone logs on to GoToMeeting.com, and now they see your computer desktop on their computer screen. So it's just like you're meeting in person, but you get a lot more done. You don't waste your time going to and from a myriad of different locations, and it is fantastic if you have people, you know, flung far to the winds. So GoToMeeting, you can host unlimited meetings in a month, so it is an unbelievable resource for you to use. I've used GoToMeeting, and I gotta tell you, it is unbelievable. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings, absolutely free. For this special offer, please visit www.goToMeeting.com/techpodcasts. That's www.goToMeeting.com/techpodcast. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. They allow us to do all kinds of crazy and cool stuff that we try and do around here, but every once in a while we take a step back, and I unfortunately feel like we took a step back this past week, so I apologize for getting the information up and out and not in a timely manner, so we did have a couple articles that were written over the past couple days, so I did want to make mention of those as well. There's a lot of boring news that's floating around right now. I classify boring news as if you go to any tech site right now, you're going to see it. These things are as follows, and I quote, Apple announced a bunch of stuff. They made the iPad Nano smaller. And Apple also announced a bunch of other stuff. They gave a camera to the iPod Touch, and they shrunk down the shuffle and used the features that people liked from the first two iterations to make a third. So they actually put the physical buttons back, and they allowed it to use voice-activated commands. Hooray for our side on that one. They also announced the new version of the iPhone, or iOS as they're calling it, 4.1 and 4.2, which have a whole bunch of interesting stuff. They've crammed more junk into iTunes than I care to actually imagine. I hate having to put it on my computer in order for my wife to use her iPod. Xbox Live has bumped up the price $20, so to use the Xbox Live service, you're going to have to pay a little bit more. However, there is a get-in-early kind of fee that they're doing right now. Or no, sorry, they only bumped it up $10, but there's a get-in-early on the old price kind of situation going right now, where you can actually buy a year of service for $40 as opposed to the $50 that it usually was, and it's going up to $60. So there you go. And the Nintendo DS is actually dropping the price on their things. So that's all the boring news that you may see from all the other websites out there. Now that we've got that all up and out of the way, I have a ton of other really cool and awesome stuff that I'd like to talk to you about today. The first up in the Geekcraft section here at the Caffeination Podcast is Caffeination Sci-Fi Love, 100 years in the making. That's right, today, and this is actually still today, this September 1st, 2000, or actually... September 1st, 1910, a man by the name of Georges Méliès released La Voyage dans la Lune, or A Trip to the Moon, which was a short 14-minute silent movie, black-and-white silent movie, that is listed as the first science fiction movie. So 100 years later, we have a myriad of different different videos and things that are out there that all fall under the purview of science fiction. And they actually, since the film is so old that, you know, Disney didn't create it or anything, it's actually in the public domain, so you can see it pretty much in its entirety on YouTube, which is really cool. There's a lot of really fun old films like that. So I have a link up to a story where I talked about it, and like most of the really old things, the discoveries around the turn of the century, especially around the 1900s, things just seemed a lot more interesting. The seedy underbelly of a lot of the different deals that were out there comes out and about. Everything from, if you ever read anything about the Wright brothers and their patent issues, to possible other people having done manned flight before them, manned powered flight before them. In fact, my great-grandfather would have been one of the people who would have argued that the Wright brothers were not the first, and besides, they only glided off of a hill, because the hill in North Carolina where they actually did their tests, actually, they could have glided for several feet, and that's what he always said. So, Ben, he would know a little bit of something about flying. He's the man who built and flew the first airplane in Philadelphia. And my dad recently corrected me that this is actually the 100-year anniversary of my great-grandfather stopping flying, because one of my one of my grandmother's brothers was born. So his wife convinced him, since he was now a father, he was no longer time to fly around on wings of fancy. So there you go, and here we are. We actually do have pictures of his airplane, and I got to tell you, they're unbelievable. So yeah, it's kind of fun to think back that. But back to the science fiction angle on things. The trip to the moon was actually really kind of cool, because it was kind of an amalgam of two different stories, from The Earth to the Moon by Jules Verne and The First Men in the Moon by H.G. Wells. So you're looking at this, you're watching this video, and you say, wow, this is pretty interesting. And then after you're done that, you realize that Georges Méliès tried to take this film to the United States. However, Thomas Edison had a bunch of film technicians that actually saw it, made an illegal copy of it, and distributed it all over the country before Georges Méliès could do so. And the, you know, this isn't anything the movie studios could blame on BitTorrent or Napster or anything else, so who's anybody going to blame? And as a result, and despite the wide acclaim of the movies itself, Méliès eventually went bankrupt. That's actually kind of really sad when you think about it. And you, after you watch the movie, I highly suggest you actually check out a link at the very bottom of the page where they say, you know, first of all, every time I read something about Thomas Edison, whether it's his involvement with the Nikola Tesla or with this kind of thing, he just seems like pretty much a pain in the rear end. He doesn't seem like a cool guy. Doesn't seem like a paragon of intellect like I had always thought he would be. You know, he's a famous inventor. Why couldn't he do, you know, cool things? Why doesn't he have the same kind of PR going for him that Benjamin Franklin did? Well, I don't know. He turns out maybe he's just a businessman like everybody else. But beyond that, if you ever watched the Smashing Pumpkins video Tonight, they seriously took a huge amount of inspiration from the trip, a trip to the moon, and so much so that like one of the ships is named the Melisse. I mean, there's all these different things throughout the video. It is laced with references, and it is a beautiful, I guess, patronage or homage to this movie. You know, I think at that point it would have been like 90 years after it was made. So this is just a fantastic little thing going. So I want to highly suggest you check out that. Now, the next little thing I got for you is from over at Blaster.com. 5 big budget sci-fi films that actually got some of their science right. Number one is 2001: A Space Odyssey. It's very famed for the fact that in space no one can hear you scream kind of thing. Also, the use of the centrifuge to actually simulate a gravitational environment to allow the astronaut to actually run around the track in there, and there's a whole bunch of other little things like that. Deep Impact, because unlike Armageddon, they found out that, you know, you couldn't just land on an asteroid or a comet or anything like that. You'd have to tether to it, and even if you did drop a nuke or something in there, all kinds of nastiness would possibly happen. So apparently they got a lot of their science right with this. Another one's Contact. I haven't ever seen Contact all the way through. Star Trek, the actual 2009 version, gets mass points just because they did the in space no one can hear you scream thing. And for some reason The Fountain is in there. I'm not entirely sure about why, but apparently they actually got right the science behind a supernova, and somehow it weaves its way into the narrative within the story. In fact, they said, you know, supernova is basically what happens when a star gets so massive that it collapses in on itself. It explodes at the end of its life, and all the heavy elements that it's created from, iron, calcium, are blown out into space so it can merge with different glass clouds. So that's kind of cool. I just wanted to kind of give you the list and point you in that general direction, because I think it's kind of interesting to walk through there. Now, given the same kind of nostalgic vibe that we were going through, I thought this was unbelievable that I happen to find a custom steampunk Optimus Prime figure. Now, this is not actually for purchase. This was a custom design by a place called Encline Designs. It's actually what would happen. Supposedly, the idea behind the Transformers actually taking the form of cars and different things like that is when they came to this planet, they picked a mechanical device to pattern themselves after, because, you know, they're aliens. So what would happen if they had landed, let's just say, 100 years earlier? Well, one of the primary means of locomotion was a locomotive itself. So Optimus Prime turns into a giant locomotive with conveniently disappearing trailer car behind him, because that's the only way he should really be. And it is unbelievable to look at this. I mean, this thing looks like it should be a clip from a Transformers lore itself. Like, if they ever did like a Transformers throwback edition, they should definitely contact Encline Studios, because this is unbelievable. So I don't know. What else? What's oh, yeah, they actually said they should have a biplane Starscream and a whole bunch of other stuff. But I love the idea that this represents. I like the way that they went about working it into certain little bits of the canon that exists. So I think it was pretty cool. Taking another little bit of retro slash nostalgia, Boing Boing has a story. I think we might have talked about this artist before. It's just unbelievable. A man by the name of James Hance actually has a series of different drawings, all done in the style of art from the original A.A. Milne Winnie the Pooh stories. Now, A.A. Milne was the author. The actual artist for those stories kind of escapes me at this point, but The original illustrator was E.H. Shepard. So he takes that and then he kind of mixes that in with Star Wars mythos. And beyond that, you see what he is calling his Wookiee the Chew series. And in fact, the first version of a book that you can actually buy is called Wookiee the Chew, The House at Chew Corner, which is a story of a young boy by the name of Chris Solo Robin and his tiny little Wookiee. There's also the appearances by R2-D2. AT-AT is actually being put forth as a Eeyore-style character. So if you like Winnie the Pooh and you want something unbelievably cute and incredibly well done, you know, get them while the getting's good. They're only $5 for the books. Or you could get a cartoon or a print of the cartoon itself. My absolute favorite is the Millennium Falcon, the Kessel Run. It's actually Han Solo going down the hill on a what looks to be a red wagon, and says Millennium Falcon spelled wrong on the side, and a joyous Chewbacca behind him. So I thought that was really cool, and would spread the word on that. That's jameshance.com, jameshance.com. So you can head on over there and check that stuff out. How would you like to do a little death metal? Now, I'm not going to be putting it on the show itself here, but this is kind of a different way. We've already heard of your cremated ashes being turned into things like gems and watches and all these other stuff. How about a set of records? Well, after you die, you can have your body actually pressed down to a set of 30 records, each containing 24 minutes of audio, 12 per side. You basically get to pick whatever music or audio or anything is going to be on these records, and this is your, and I'm not going to say last will and testament, but this is the what you are leaving behind, so to speak. So I think this is really kind of cool. The only thing is it's $3,000 to have it done. I've never had a record pressed, so I don't know what a limited pressing of any kind of record would actually be. But I'm willing to bet that if you were going to have 30 copies of a record made, and that's it, you know, it's just like a one-time limited edition press, that's $3,000 probably isn't too off the charts. It's just the fact that, you know, you're using your dead burnt remains to do so. I thought it was kind of interesting. They say you can also do it if you have anything amputated. You can actually have that cremated and then crushed down into a record or something like that. So you could always, you know, if you had your hand amputated or something like that, you could always do some kind of joke and saying, the doctor says I'll never play the violin again, and then you can have a whole record of violin stuff, and technically your hand is still playing the violin because your hand is the record. But, you know, hey, that's a little bit more morbid than we usually do here at the Caffeination Podcast, so we're going to go on to something a little bit more interesting, a little bit outlandish. I'd like to thank Bob from where I work for sending me a story about the iPhone, iPad, and the Macs getting AutoCAD. Now, AutoCAD coming back to the Mac is an 18-year absence. I don't know how many times I've actually talked to people in work and say, oh yeah, you know, I was using AutoCAD on the Macs. And this is before you could run, you know, virtual PCs or anything. I'm like, yeah, if you were using AutoCAD on the Mac when you originally did this, we're talking, you know, 1992 is the last time it was released. So you either were using an incredibly old version of AutoCAD, or you really didn't understand what the question was to begin with. However, it's going to be all new, all redesigned, you know, basically from the ground up kind of code reworking. I'm not sure if we're going to actually be able to get this yet in work, but they just released it, so this is pretty cool. But the thing that I'm actually kind of interested in is an iPad, iPhone, and iPod Touch thing. So you can basically review, edit, and share AutoCAD files on these devices. I like the idea of having kind of like a tactile feedback and flipping through a model or a set of working drawings or something like that. The iPad itself, I'm pretty sure it'd actually be useful for working on blueprints and things like that, would need to be significantly larger. It would have to be like the size of a keyboard itself right now, and you know, then a little bit wider to, just because the amount of detail that you need to see things in, it goes beyond that tiny little form factor that they have. Maybe, you know, maybe I can actually talk to getting an iPad for work, but I was always kind of waiting for the Android ones. I don't think they're going to be releasing an Android app, So unfortunately, you know, this just might be the way that it goes. The Mac OS X edition of it costs the same as Windows, which is $4,000, $3,995, and that's with a subscription, support subscription. And I'm trying to figure out how much the iPad and iPhone versions are going to cost. Doesn't actually say yet, but we'll see. All right. Next little thing, you can design your own squishy circuits with homemade conductive Play-Doh. Well, I don't know about you, but anytime I see wires running to dough-like substance with lights on it, I think bomb. I'm not one to squash ideas or anything like that, but I just don't necessarily think that it's probably a good idea to run around with this little gadget that's there. These are not actually Play-Dohs, but they're different circuit. They're the different conductivity demonstrations. The same thing with the conducive paint, so you could technically have all kinds of light shows wired up in your house just by, you know, a series of paint running along the wall, and which would actually be really cool. But you know, that one's not very portable. It's hard to change a circuit with doing that. And doing this with the Play-Doh just looks far too much like a bomb to actually be good for me. Sticking with the nostalgia thing, Commodore USA has announced that the PC-64, an Atom-powered PC, is going to be shipping incredibly soon in a replica Commodore 64 case. So this is really cool if you're somebody like me who cut his teeth on a Commodore 64. That's the first computer I ever learned to use anything on. It's the first one I got to sit there and play around with. The specs for this thing are actually kind of interesting. I'm not entirely sure how they work with the big chunky keys. In fact, I love the sound of actually typing on one of those. It would probably be raucous if you had a whole lab full of them. But it's getting 4 gigs of RAM, SATA 1 terabyte hard drive, HDMI output, optical drive, either DVD or CD or Blu-ray, and an exact replica of the lovely beige chassis. Now, if this thing can use the cartridges or have like a spot in the back where the cartridges used to go, you know, I'll definitely tip my hat to these. But apparently there was a long and somewhat extended court battle over not only the name the Commodore 64, but a couple other things. So it apparently it's all working out. No word yet on how much everything's going to cost, but I gotta say that this is going to be really cool. So the agreement between Commodore USA and Commodore licensing has finally been worked out, so that's going to be kind of interesting. Apparently, there's a story coming out right now that doctors are tossing out their stethoscopes for a free iPhone app. However, there is a pro version of it, and you can make all the different jokes you want about whether or not doctors are actually professionals because they have practices or not. But apparently, the stethoscope app is actually better than using a regular stethoscope because it has a bunch of other features. It has charting features, and this is really, really kind of cool. They're saying that the app is being downloaded roughly 500 times per day. They're not saying how many of those are doctors. The pro version is available for only 99 cents, and it gets rid of the advertising and everything else. Basically, it uses accelerometers. The accelerometer in there, it actually uses the camera to take visual cues, and it also uses the microphone to actually listen. I was unaware that the microphone was that sensitive that it could actually pick up heartbeats and stuff like that. So that's really kind of cool. I'm not sure how I feel that this would work out. I mean, I would much rather have a doctor with a stethoscope around his neck than holding an iPhone up to my chest. But given that hospitals have a general frowning upon policy of having phones out and about in the situation going on, I can't see how this is working out. Unless maybe, you know, some of the hospitals are a little bit more enlightened than we have around here. So one of the people in the comments is actually saying that there is no free version anymore because apparently they got so popular that people just started downloading it like crazy. All right, next little thing that we got for you here is actually the last little thing that we got for you in the Geek Cruft section is liquid nitrogen and some dude's hand. There's a rather stunning photo of a vat of liquid nitrogen and a gentleman shoving his hand into it to take a picture. There's actually some real science behind why he doesn't have a frozen block of hand left in there after the fact, but the liquid nitrogen is actually chilled down to minus 320 degrees Fahrenheit. This is pretty cold. However, when you shove your hand into the vat of liquid nitrogen, a protective layer of nitrogen gas actually forms around your hand. It's like shoving a hot poker into water. So if you push your hand in right and pull it out real quick, nothing happens to your hand. In fact, according to the gentleman who actually tried it, it doesn't even hurt. It doesn't even begin to feel like it's cold. And he said this is the same example of the same principle, that it's a protective layer of evaporated gas, which is why if you have a hot skillet and you drop a bunch of water on it or something, the little beads of water, they dance across the skillet rather than just getting evaporated. Right, it's called the Leidenfrost effect, and named after Johann Gottlieb Leidenfrost, the doctor who first studied it in 1756. No clue why the accent chimed in there, but I just thought it was pretty cool that a gentleman took a picture of his hand shoved down into a vat of liquid nitrogen. I wouldn't have known it was liquid nitrogen. It looks kind of awesome, but it's still, it's just kind of freaky. I mean, I've accidentally frozen parts of my hand with with an upside down can of compressed air, so I wouldn't want to even play with the liquid nitrogen. All right, that about wraps it up here for the Geek Cruft section of the Caffeination Podcast. Moving right along lovingly to the food and caffeinated bits. I have a ton of stuff in here I would like to talk to you about, so hopefully you're enjoying this. Just a reminder, you can find all this fun stuff over at caffeination.com. That's CaffeinationIon.com. Any comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, can you please be shot off to caffeination@gmail.com. You can reach us at twitter.com/caffeination, Facebook. We have a Facebook fan page for the whole dealie. And you can call into our listener line, a direct-to-voicemail line at 215-240-1319. Hey, you can even do that from Gmail right now if you have a laptop with a microphone on it. So you can leave a comment and feedback, and we might play it on the show. So that's just something I wanted to put out there. All right, now this is kind of an interesting idea. This is a way to actually create a frosting pen. Now, I don't know how many of you out there have ever tried to use a cake bag. We tried to use it for my son's birthday last year. I did a sculpted car of Lightning McQueen, and I couldn't find any fondant around here, didn't know how to make it, and so I decided to do everything in buttercream icing. And the sculpting was down great. The sculpting actually looked like the car. You know, I had everything done. When I covered it in icing, I kind of ruined it, and I wish I hadn't done it as well as I had done, but it still looked relatively like Lightning McQueen, just didn't have the same kind of, Food Network quality to it. But, you know, I thought it was pretty interesting. One of the hardest things to do, however, was do some of the fine work with a cake bag. It takes a lot of practice and a lot of skill to do that. Enter the frosting pen. It's actually really kind of cool. This is a liquid pencil that actually has frosting that's in a gun, and it has a very tiny little lever, and it actually allows you to control the flow of the frosting a little bit better. So it has three refillable cartridges to allow you to swap in different colors, and six different tips for creating all those fun little designs you'd like to do, and it's only $30. So overall, that's not too bad, and it's a little motorized deal, so just kind of fun, so I wanted to pass it along. Next little thing that we have for you here is an awesome idea for a cup koozie. It's a hand-sewn little thing. It says caffeinating, please wait, and has a little green bar going, progress bar going across, so I just had to share with the group on this. This is actually an Etsy item, so you can head on over. It's all the Etsy's a lot of the different crafty kind of stuff out there. So they have 13 of these for sale right now, and apparently I'm still trying to find the actual price. It's actually sold out, so I can't tell you the price on this one right now. So we'll see if they have any up. Oh, sorry, you can get three of them for $25. So there you go. So I thought that was kind of interesting. A little bit expensive for cup koozies, but hey, they're hand-sewn and they're kind of fun, so you know, you can always do that. And if you want something that's a little bit excessive and a little bit expensive, then you might look at the next thing from BookofJoe.com. It's called the Road Popper. It's actually a bottle opener that bolts to the underside of your bicycle seat. So the two rails that actually go around on your bicycle seat, if they're easily accessible, you can bolt this thing on there, and apparently it works with any bottle they've tried it so far. this is kind of cool and everything. I was like, wow, that's really kind of a neat idea, and it doesn't seem to involve too much hardware. It's just a bracket, two screws, two nuts, and two bolts, two nuts, and a top bracket that actually has the bottle opener itself on there. Well, however, they are $40 to $55. I'm sorry, I'm going to take my own little keychain bottle opener on the road, and I think I'll be all right. So moving right along to a wonderful little article from a great little site I highly suggest you visit, caffeination.com. Coffee Clothing. The fine folks over at Koi Clothes were wonderful enough to send me a coffee-related t-shirt, which is a lovely little bamboo t-shirt that actually has a canvas patch on the front that says coffee, cheaper than crack. I've been wearing it around work. It's very light, very comfortable to wear, and The shirts over there are a little bit on the expensive side, but they're more along the lines of designer t-shirts. So huge thank you to the guys over, or the people over at Koi Clothes. Lisa sent me a wonderful shirt, and I've already gotten a bunch of fun little raised eyebrows and works. I live in t-shirts. I'm an absolute sucker for them. Between this and T-Fury, which I keep going back to, I really need to kind of ignore for a while. These things help me not be naked, which is a good thing. So you can head on over there and check out with the coffee cheaper than crack thing. They also have a bacon t-shirt, which I thought was actually fantastic, and it's just the same kind of design, you know, on a printed out on a canvas patch, and it's actually it just says bacon makes me happy. Bacon makes everybody happy. All right, next little thing. Now, I promised that I wouldn't do this unless I actually saw a good health-related article. Well, this is something that I actually thought was pretty interesting, so I wanted to bring to the forefront of the discussion. This is talking about bottled teas versus brewed teas. Now, there's a study that was done that actually tested the antioxidant levels of different bottled teas that were out there. Now, in the study, they did not name the teas, but these are worldwide beverages, so I'm guessing things like Snapple, Arizona, and all this other stuff that says they're really healthy, made from the best stuff on earth. I've always been kind of a little hesitant to actually go for the bottled tea route versus a brewed tea thing, because I always, for some reason, felt that the brewed tea was stronger, and I had a little bit more fine control over how sweet it was. I'm not somebody who really likes sweet things. You know, I drink my coffee black. I drink my tea black most of the time. If the coffee smells a little bit burnt, I'll add one teaspoon of sugar. That's about it. But apparently, the antioxidant levels in the six teas that they tested were as follows. They had levels of, where they're actually testing, I guess, the milligrams of polyphenols per 16-ounce bottle. So they had 18, 43, 40, 13, 4, and 3. So these are all relatively low when you consider a 16-ounce bottle. However, they took one cup of average home-brewed or green or black tea, and this has 50 to 150 milligrams of polyphenols. So they're saying that there's a very real difference between the two, and there's two reasons that are actually postulated that are put forth. The first is that in order to, you know, polyphenols are apparently very bitter, so in order to sweeten the tea a little bit more, they actually add more water to the actual tea than you would normally do at home if you're trying to brew it. The other thing is that they're saying that it's possible the polyphenols break down the longer they're in the bottle, or depending on how the tea itself was brewed. So since at home you have a lot more fine control of that, it's kind of better. So if you're looking to drink tea for the antioxidant levels, go for home brewed. Don't go for the store-bought stuff. Don't go for the store-bought, already bottled and everything stuff. And don't read all, believe what any of the labels tell you. So I thought this was kind of interesting and cool. So there you go. There's a lot more information in there, so it's kind of cool. The only thing that I was really irritated about is that they didn't have an easily accessible link to the study, so if I find it, I am going to put that up. But a lot of the stuff that they actually put there seems to be relatively on the up and up. They actually give a lot of really good information. They actually tell you where to find the study. They said the study was presented on August 22nd at the 240th National Meeting of the American Chemical Society ACS in Boston. So if you're looking for it, I guess it'll be in the proceedings of the 240th National Meeting of the American Chemical Society, which has not been published yet because proceedings take a little while. Well, how would you like to have your beer sing a different tune? You can tune your beer to the right notes now with a wonderful little thing called Tuned Pale Ale. In the actual bottle, they have markings on the bottle for if you drink the beer down to that level, that's the note that it will create. And the best thing about it is that the six-pack itself, if you were to flip it over, it actually creates its own little drumming situation going on. I love this. This is insanely cool. Apparently, you know, from the different tube lengths that are actually in the six-pack holders, to show you the tuned pale ale, I guess it has the scale and everything like that, and every single one of the slots that you would put a beer bottle in the six-pack holder is a slightly different height, so it produces a different tone when you actually bang on the back of it. So this is something that's designed to the hilt. Now, if it tastes good to boot, then it's all that much better. So I need to go to the local six-pack store and see if I can find or have them import a little deal of tuned pale ale, and I'll report back on whether or not it sounds as sweet as it tastes. So, all right, now the next little thing that we got for you here, which is actually the last little thing for you in the Caffeination podcast today, that's an awesome back-to-school guide. I was writing one of these. It is taking far too long. I'm going to link to Mike's in the hopes that I'll eventually be able to finish mine. But I'm not going to do it the same way that he does. He does a really good job. This is from over at dailyshotofcoffee.com. He has Coffee 101, where he lists the Keurig, the single cup brewer. Then he goes Coffee 201. Which is actually a larger coffee maker, has a, you know, built-in little travel mug in there. Then he goes down to a fresh brew thermal carafe coffee maker, and then he goes down. Apparently, his Coffee 303 is for the advanced coffee geeks that are out there. Is actually a Bodum Chambord coffee press, the French press. I would put this a little bit in a different location on there, just because of its price and the ease of actually creating good coffee in there. And then he has extra credit as a good grinder, so a conical burr grinder is the Breville that he has. So I love the idea behind it, and I love the, you know, actually giving people the correct way to caffeinate for college, because I've got to say I've seen a lot of tired people already, and the bad thing is I usually see one when I look in the mirror right now. So that about all the time we got for you here today. Hopefully you found this episode slightly enjoyable, if not more so. So thank you ever so much for listening. This has been Caffeination episode 452, the Borked edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. You can find this episode and all the other episodic friends over at www.caffeination.com, caffeination.com, and caffeination@gmail.com for all of your comments, feedback, and suggestions and hate mail. Thank you ever so much for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.